Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
Welcome. Hour two, Tony Katz Today. I'm Derek Hunter, sitting in for Tony Katz Today. Looking at the Twitter machine, David Limbaugh, just 3 minutes ago. How can we have gotten to the point where GOP Congress passes a $1.2 trillion bill with that many abominations it contains, illegal mobs overrun armed guardsmen at the border, and a lunatic puppet of a president is destroying our energy industry and way, way, way more. How could we have gotten to this point? Yeah. Because, well, I don't know. Nobody makes the point. If you notice, nobody's making the case for Joe Biden. They all make the case against Donald Trump. You can't really, even the Democrats, their electoral strategy seems to be, you don't know how good you've got it. Which is a weird strategy to me. You don't know how good you've got it. It's easily countered by, you don't know how bad we've got it. You know, come to the grocery store with me. I've got a pile of statistics here that show that the economy is doing. Look at the stock market. Okay, let's look at the stock market. Your 401k, it's great, I'm 40. What is my 401k going to do for me right now? Actually, half the people who are 40 are paying substantial penalties for early withdrawal from their 401k because they can't afford their rent anymore. They can't afford groceries. They can't afford to put gas in their car. But now your 401k is going through the roof. Well, when the government's taking 40% as a punishment because I need that to live, not really super excited. Not a big selling point, I would say. Just pointing it out there. But they're out there telling their story. Donald Trump's a monster. Did you know that he had an affair? Did you know that he did this? Did you see what he said? Yeah, I sure did. Now, these are the people who are outraged by what Donald Trump says, but then Joe Biden can go and drape the Independence Hall in Philadelphia in blood red lights, have military guards standing behind him, and something where even Goebbels is like, I don't know, this visual might be a bit too much. From hell, he's looking up going, wow, that's, I wouldn't have even thought to do that. And they go, did you hear what Donald Trump said? He tweeted out on Truth Social that he doesn't like Joe Biden, or whatever it is that they're outraged. They constantly, their hands clutch their pearls so much, they've fused to them the way a fat guy grows into a couch, you know? You always hear those stories. They had to remove a wall to get him out of there. And he fused to a couch. His skin had grown into the couch the way a tree can grow into a fence. Like, you don't wake up one morning and just do... What hell? I can't get up from the couch. What happened? It happens gradually. Somebody is bringing you Doritos at an alarming rate and not saying anything, right? Not, plus, you haven't been to the bathroom in a while. Not that you haven't gone, you just didn't go to the room. I don't think that sneaks up on anybody. A couple of pounds, that'll sneak up on you. Growing into furniture, you're not surprised by that. You're in denial for a very long time. Anyway, talk about it. Speaking of non sequiturs, let's talk about people growing into their furniture. So let's get back to Stormy. She wants to testify in the hush money trial, the hush money. She should be a defendant in an extortion scheme, but that's beside the point. She is a celebrity. She's going to be a witness, she thinks. They're not really sure. And after this appearance, quite frankly, on The View, I wouldn't be surprised if prosecutors said, we're not going to call her. We're not going to call that. Because she wants to get up there and she wants to tell her truth. If, here's another little thing that, words of advice. I've lived a lot of lives. I've had more than 80 jobs, many of them for not very long, as you might imagine. I was, for example, I was a merry maid for an hour. I was probably, I don't know, 20 years old, 21 years old. Needed a job desperately. Got the job with Merry Maids. My day comes along to start. I go 8 o'clock in the morning, watch the training video, and I realized this isn't for me. It didn't matter that I was paying for gas and cigarettes with empty bottles of beer and cans of pop and everything that you'd collect for 10 cents a piece in Michigan. It doesn't matter. I was selling comic books and baseball cards that I'd collected in order to pay. It didn't matter. I could not do this job. They tell you how to vacuum. God bless them. They're needed. They do a great job. But it was just not for me. And I come out of my training video hour, and there's my crew, and they were ladies of age-ish, especially for somebody who's like 20. They were probably in their 40s or 50s, but they might as well have been their 80s. And I just looked, and I just said, This isn't for me. I'm sorry. I have to go. I felt bad because they waited there for me to learn how to vacuum and change people's sheets. And that's what really got me is I didn't change my own sheets at the time. I was a 20-year-old dude. Nobody does that. I'm not going to be changing anybody else's sheets. So I just walked out. God bless them. They mailed me a check for like after taxes, like $4 or something. But they paid me for that hour because I had filled out the paperwork. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I've seen some stuff. I've done some things. And there is no my truth, though, through all of that. There is only the truth. There's my story. There's my take. There are my opinions. There's no my truth. It's not my truth. It's everybody who's their truth. I'm sure the old ladies are sitting there recounting their grandchildren about some guy who made them late for work one day because he was watching a training video and bagged out of it. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. If anybody tells you that they want to tell their version of their, they want to tell their truth, run. Run. Because there's just the truth. And they are confusing the truth with their opinion, with their take, with their spin. And that is something that will permeate all of their existence. And it's going to make it real difficult to be around. So as soon as you hear that red flag, run. So here's Stormy on why she wants to testify, talking to the ladies of The View. Oh, poor Whoopi looks like a prisoner, if you haven't seen the video yet. Talking about why she wants to testify. She's hoping to testify. Now tell me, would you put this person on the stand? Cut two. Go ahead.
Stormy, Trump and his legal team have been trying to block you, actually, from appearing at his upcoming hush money trial in New York. He has denied all wrongdoing, of course, but the judge overseeing it just ruled that you and former fixer Michael Cohen are allowed to testify in the case. Are you ready to take the stand against Donald Trump? And I don't want you to talk about what you're going to say or anything about the trial. That's my lawyer hat on. But are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready. I've been ready. I'm hoping with all of my heart that they call me because, as I showed on the stand against Michael Avenatti, I don't need someone to speak for me. Mm-hmm. And I relish the day that I get to face him and speak my truth.
I don't need anybody. Is there anybody who does need somebody to speak for them? Yeah, we're going to call her as a witness. But she's just going to sit there. We're going to call somebody. We're going to swear her in. But then just we're going to have this guy sitting next to her. He's going to be the one who answers the questions. That's not on what maybe in porn. Maybe I'm giving them ideas for plots or whatever for her next movie. But just testifying by proxy, not really a big thing. I don't need somebody to speak on my behalf. Nobody is. Nobody wants to. But the next thing I have, and that's just one example of you're sitting there going, would I put this person on the stand? This little montage that I saw on Twitter this morning really puts a fine point on the answer to the would I put her on the stand question. The answer is a blaring hell no, I wouldn't put her on the stand. It is, again, if you listen, there's a lot of things that you would think would normally get an applause line because it's the View audience. They hate Donald Trump. They're left-wingers. They're blah, 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 blah. It's Joy. These are also people who find Joy Behar amusing and laugh hysterically at her lame jokes. So you'd think the bar for getting a reaction from an audience is not super high. There are also people who, when you say something, I'm standing up for what's right. half the audience breaks their legs, throwing standing up as quickly as they can to give a standing ovation to things like that. So you would think that this, what you'd hear in this montage would elicit erupting response from the audience. It doesn't. It doesn't, because it's so bizarre. And I think a whole lot of people are like thinking, she's not the best. This is the best we got. This is not a very bright person, not a very entertaining person, not a very funny person. I'm not sure that this person should be on the stand, kind of an unease with somebody who extorted money from somebody else. But it's telling, because if you watch this video, particularly, Whoopi is kind of looking out at the producers thinking, why are we doing this? Can we get, how long is this segment? How much time do we have? Let's listen. Cut three. Go ahead.
It was about, oh, she's just out for the money, or she's a gold digger, or she's, you know, she's a slut. And I'm like, award-winning slut. Thank you. But he has more power than I could ever hope to have, because he is a white man, and he didn't show his wiener on camera. But he's probably showing it somewhere else right now.
Yeah. Well, Sarah.
No, you guys are not paying me today.
Right.
I got a mug. I did get a mug, which I'm very excited about. They're like, I've had people text me.
Yeah.
From their actual phone number. Yeah. And I'm just like, of course you're a Trump supporter, because you're not even good at being bad.
Yeah.
Block that.
Well, they've been.
I'm trying to think of a very nice word to say that, so I don't get in trouble with a nice man with a microphone again. They're more like suicide bombers this time around, where they honestly, truly believe that they are being patriotic and that I am like the devil.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, Storm.
I have a very, no offense to Sarah, who I guess is sort of a journalist. I have a very, it's journalist or the bane of my existence. Also, a lot of people didn't read the book. I wrote the book because I wanted to get my story out, and then I realized a lot of people don't read. So
yeah.
I should have made like a picture book. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I shouldn't have.
I'd note you're a registered Republican.
Yes.
How do you, who is the real Stormy Daniels, and how do you respond to those sort of labels?
And who will you be voting for?
Don't tell us.
How do you pick? I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I might as well do it. I'll paint the White House pink. Let's have a party.
Yeah. Is that somebody you want to put on the stand? Is that somebody, if you're the prosecutor, going, well, I can't wait to get her. There's nothing to fear on cross-examination here. There is little to no chance she's going to say anything that would damage my case. Are you going to put that on the stand? And then you get Michael Cohen as the other witness, like, Mr. Trump. He used to be Mr. Trump this, Mr. Trump that. Now it's, I can't stand him. Like, well, Michael Cohen, you kind of went to prison for an unrelated thing having to do with taxicab medallions and the scam there. You're the best character witness you people could come up with. You just sit there, and I tell you, nobody in history that I can think of is better blessed by their opponents than Donald Trump. Yes, no, they're going after him and what they're doing to him up in New York, trying to seize his property. That's absolute garbage. But from just a purely political standpoint, he has been blessed with perfect timing and perfect opponents. How many of his opponents have imploded, have gone to prison, have been completely Michael Avenatti sitting in prison right now. You go up and run for president of the United States against Hillary Clinton, and you sit there and say, well, Donald Trump is wildly unpopular. He went up against the least popular possible human being, and possibly a human being, on the planet in Hillary Clinton. You're just like, recoil in horror at the prospect. Look, I get it. Back in 2016, there are a lot of things that Donald Trump said where you're just like, oh, geez, I wouldn't have said that, or I would have put it a different way or whatever. But then you look across the aisle and you go, the alternative is Hillary Clinton. For God's sakes, no way. Your skin starts to crawl. You feel like you need that Silkwood shower. You just need something. You're like, oh, my God. Ugh. And you end up winning. All of the people, all the outrage that they claim, Jim Acosta. If Jim Acosta had not been such a obnoxious D-bag, horrible, just insufferable human being, and he'd been able to conduct himself in any way a human being would find acceptable, maybe he could have landed some punches. Maybe. But you got Jim Acosta over there trying to call. Can you believe what Donald Trump said? I can't get past what you said. I don't care what Donald Trump said. He has been blessed with the perfect enemies, the best enemies. That no matter what he does or what he says, you just look at it and you go, well, at least it's not Rachel Maddow. Did you see what Donald Trump said? I'm sorry, I can't get a lecture on morality and language use from Joy Reid. I'm not going to take that seriously, okay? And Rachel Maddow or Chris Hazel, whichever one it is, I can't tell the difference. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. They're the same thing. They just have slightly different. I think one parts their hair on the other side. But there's no way I'm going to take a moral lecture from them. No matter what you think of Donald Trump, and I'm not somebody who thinks poorly of him, but no matter what you think of him, you look at the other side and you go, at least he's not that. At least he's not that. It's a hell of a selling point. Say you can't polish a turd. That's kind of what the Democrats have to do. Now, they got a lot of money to try, but we'll see how it works out. Stormy ain't the way to do it. We're looking at the clock, man. It is time to take a break. You're listening to Tony Katz today. Derek Hunter filling in. Be right back. Five people I'd love to interview. Keith Richards. Just, you know, fascinating guy. His autobiography, by the way, if you're into audiobooks, Life, I highly recommend it. It's like 26 hours long. I highly recommend it. Johnny Depp reads a couple of chapters. Keith Richards reads a couple of chapters. He's more articulate than I remember him, maybe because he's clean. And then there's just some guy, I don't know, some British actor who does the rest, and he does it as Keith Richards. It's just fascinating, sitting there going, if you ever wondered, how did this guy survive? With all the drugs, he did more drugs than most small towns. And he's there, how is it Keith Richards? And there's all the jokes. Keith Richards is going to live forever. He attributes it, I don't recommend this, kids. I'm just telling you what Keith said. He attributes it to the fact that he didn't mess around with none of them junk drugs. Not that there wasn't a drug he didn't do. It's that he did the pure stuff. One of the things you become fully accustomed to and acquainted with in the Keith Richards autobiography is the concept. I don't know that it's true or not, but pharmaceutical grade cocaine. Big thing. He repeats it a lot throughout the book. I don't know that you can go in like, oh yeah, I need my prescription filled for my blood pressure medicine. I'm going to need my statin for my cholesterol. And I'm going to need my pharmaceutical grade cocaine. Now, granted, the 60s and 70s were a different time, the 80s. But I don't think that was a thing. If Keith Richards were rocking in the 19-teens, I could see pharmaceutical grade cocaine being a thing. But maybe quality-wise, the purest, I guess. Still, I don't recommend testing that theory. I think there is something about Keith Richards' body that allowed him to absorb that and then almost die because he, like, fell and hit his head. Things like I cracks his skull. Takes pounds and pounds and pounds of drugs. Fine. He's good. He can still play guitar. He's all good. It takes a fall, hits his head, cracks his skull open, and he still lives through it. Just saying. Anyway, still, we're at the halfway point of the show. Holy cow. Still to come, we got a left-wing blowout in the Young Turks. I love it when the left discovers the consequences of their god-awful, horrible policies, right? It happens so infrequently. They usually just inflict their policies on other people and they get to sort of Mr. Magoo their lives through it. Every once in a while it impacts them and they come to a realization that, my God, we're terrible. We have that audio and you're going to enjoy it. And I always love it when they get a big dose of their own medicine. And you're listening to the Tony Katz Today program. I'm Derek Hunter. We'll be back. There's very little difference between that. I don't know if that's sharp dressed man or legs. There's very little difference between the two. But they're both good. Like, it doesn't matter. Hell, if you go look at Chuck Berry's catalog, the guy just rewrote the lyrics to a bunch of songs. Musically, it's the same damn thing. Because, well, once you got it, I guess, in the early days of rock and roll, the guy's inventing the genre. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Welcome back. Tony Katz Today. I'm Derek Hunter, sitting in. I want to play you audio of a guy from Maryland called David Trone. Now, David Trone is quite possibly one of the wealthiest members. He is one of the wealthiest members of Congress. He owns Total Wine and More. He also doesn't live in the district that he represents, which is sadly my district. But he... lives in Montgomery County, which is a wealthy suburb of Washington, D.C., represented by Jamie Raskin, and actually used to be represented by Chris Van Hollen, who, when he saw his golden opportunity to run for the Senate, he took it, and he won, and there was a scramble to fill the seat that he was going to vacate in Montgomery County, one of the richest and left-wingest places on the planet. David Trone, back in... that was 2016, spent the most money, I believe to this day, it certainly was at the time, but I believe it is still to this day, the most money ever spent in a primary to try and win the Democratic nomination, because that was where the real fight was. Whoever won the Democratic nomination was going to win the seat in Congress. He spent somewhere near $30 million of his own money. Didn't miss it, didn't matter, didn't win. Just couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Then Jamie Raskin won. He went to Congress, and his very first act as a member of Congress in 2017 was trying to block the certification of the 2016 presidential election, blocking the certification of the Electoral College vote, which only 4 years later, even addressing the concept of doing it would be considered a hate crime and a threat to democracy. But Jamie Raskin got in just under the wire. Boy, howdy, how lucky can you be? Anyway, Jamie Raskin's just a horrible person. Just a horrible, and you know, I'm going to say something that every time you see Jamie Raskin is going to haunt you now. He looks like he just stepped out of the shower. All the time. Doesn't matter what he's doing. He looks like he just stepped out of the shower. His hair looks wet. He reminds me of the Jerry Curl family from Coming to America. The guys who stained the couch, you know, with their hair. Because he always, like, what are you doing? You just come from the gym constantly? It can't be. Just does. His hair always looks wet. Same with Debbie Wasserhair Schultz. Her hair more kind of looked like an old mop that hadn't been used in a while, but it was hung up wet and it just kind of dried. Anyway, that's what her hair looks like. Anyway, I'm not superficial at all. I just despise these people. That's all. Anyway, David Trone is as liberal as the day is long. He ran commercials back in his first campaign, citing the overdose death of his nephew to explain that he understands the opioid problem and has been impacted by it. Now, imagine that phone call where you got to call your brother up and go, hey, I got an idea for an ad that'll help me out running for Congress. And okay, what is it? I'm going to run a television commercial about the worst day of your existence. I'm going to remind you constantly of the horrible loss that you feel. And you're like, how do you make that phone call? How do you do that? I don't know how you do it. It's either that or he just didn't make the phone call, which is also a possibility because David Trone is not a particularly well-liked person. But he did it. He also ran a commercial with his young daughters talking about how he's going to fight for their right to have an abortion should they want to, should they need it. Like, really? You're going to put your kids in this ad? You could just talk about it in the abstract. You're in a heavily Democratic district. You didn't have to say that, but whatever. He was at a congressional hearing this week, talking casually, and he just casually drops a racial slur. It just flows right out of him like somebody who hiccups in the middle of a sentence or burps or something. You know, sometimes every once in a while, it just gets away from you. And you're, oh, sorry about that. Except he doesn't recognize, if you burp or hiccup, you recognize that you did it. David Trone drops an obvious racial slur and just skates right past it. He isn't affected by it. There's not even a pause of, did I just say that? Or did I say something that, should I not have, am I using the wrong words? Nothing. Just straight up drops the racial slur and moves on. Cut six. Go ahead.
What you look at is, can you compete? Can you do it better than the other competitor? And with that, can you create a P&L statement that works? And the tax rate, that's after the P&L. It's never, ever once been a consideration. So this Republican jigaboo that, you know, it's a tax rate that's stopping business investment, it's just completely faulty by people who've never run a business.
It's not doctored in any way, shape, or form. I haven't touched it. I didn't do anything. Now, you remember the Washington Post when George Allen, Senator George Allen from Virginia, said the word macaca. Now, I never heard the word macaca before. I don't know that I heard it about 150,000 times a day in the liberal media during the 2006 campaign. And then I don't know that you ever heard it since. If it's this horrible thing, and you'd think some movie would have mentioned something, it's somehow it would have come up. But it doesn't. It's never been a, but it was an outrage in the 2016 election. Boy, howdy was it. Macaca, this, and they got their scalp. They got George Allen. The Washington Post spearheaded it. George Allen uses racial slur to describe Indian, blah, 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 Indian American, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. What does, right there, that audio just heard, what kind of headline do you think came from the Washington Post? Well, I'll read it to you. Quote, Congressman apologizes for using racial slur instead of saying bugaboo. That's the entirety of the headline. That's it. Now, the subheadline is U.S. Senate hopeful David Trone, D. Maryland, made the comment while discussing tax rates in a budget hearing. Oh, okay. That's just kind of almost straight up reporting. No value judgment at all. Look, it happened. Rich white guy. Democrat, though. So it's okay. Progressives are progressives first. Anything else, a very distant second. So you can get away with this sort of stuff. The story, Senate hopeful David Trone used a racial slur during a congressional budget hearing Thursday and later apologized, saying he misspoke and did not know what the word meant. He did not know what that word meant. I won't even say what the word is. You've heard it. But he didn't know. Somehow, the guy managed to live 68 years on this earth and not know what that word meant. How many times has he used it in the past? Just dropping it all. Let's throw this word around. You don't know what it meant. Okay. Trone dropped a derogatory word for black people into a brief speech praising President Biden's tax proposal towards the end of a friendly exchange with the director of Office of Budget and Management. It's actually the Management and Budget. It's OMG, OMD, but B, whatever. After explaining the corporate tax rate, this is the third paragraph. Still haven't heard what the word is. After explaining the corporate tax rate did not influence how he invested hundreds of millions in his national liquor company, Trone continued, quote, and then they get around to it. And let's see, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to read that. The Republican, there it is right there. So this Republican racial slur that I'm not going to say. Goes on. That's the only time it's ever mentioned is in the quote. And that takes until the fourth paragraph. The fourth paragraph. Macaca was in the headline. Daily. Sometimes 3-4 stories a day in the Washington Post. They put it in the headline. They made a word nobody'd ever heard of before into a racial slur. through sheer force of will and repetition. And yet David Trone drops one that you just like, even Stevie Wonder sit there and say, I can see that this is a racial slur. What the? And it doesn't rate until the fourth paragraph. And the only time it's ever mentioned in the entire story is in a direct quote. And that's it. So after the direct quote, you get this. Trone, 68, is a leading Democrat in the May 14th primary race to succeed retiring Senator Ben Cardin, and represents the most diverse state on the East Coast. Most diverse state on the East Coast. All that means is we got percentage-wise fewer white people. It's weird how diversity means fewer white people, not more of other kinds. There's not a whole lot of different, if you really break down the ethnicity of it, it's a bit of sameness. It's just large groups. Doesn't matter. Who cares? But it's just interesting that diversity. I love it when an individual, as a diverse person, you hear that more and more these days. As a diverse person, and you go, are you schizophrenic? Like, you have multiple personality disorder? How are you a singular, a diverse person? Diverse means multiple. No, it doesn't matter. If a person can declare themselves to be a they them. I am a third person plural. No, you just said I am. You can't be. No. Bow to my will. Anyway, polling released this week shows the race is wide open, with 39% of primary voters undecided and Trone leading his chief opponent, Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsterberg. They're done. They're done talking about the racial slur. Until they get to the point where he finally get around to, oh, gee, sorry about that. They say the slur is among the derogatory terms used to caricature black people. After being contacted by the Washington Post hours after the remark. Now, let that set in. Hours after being contacted by the Washington Post, hours after the slur. That means that this sat there. Nobody noticed it. Nobody commented on it for probably 4 or 5 hours. Congressional hearings start at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. That's it. This one started at 10 a.m. This story wasn't filed until 8:59 p.m. Do the math. That after being contacted by the Washington Post hours after the remark, Trone apologized in a statement. He didn't run to a camera, nothing, didn't run on social media and post a video of it. No, he's quote, today, while attempting to use the word bugaboo in a hearing, I misspoke and mistakenly used a phrase that is offensive. Bugaboo. It rhymes. It's different, but if I'm trying to use the word bugaboo and I say just bugaloo or any boogaloo, electric is like, oh no, I'm not talking about breaking to electric boogaloo. I'm talking about a bugaboo. You notice it, you recognize it right away. That he didn't recognize it means that he's probably used this thing before. He's probably scrambling. What could I possibly meant to say? And it doesn't matter anyway. Words are violence, we are told. He's already committed the hate crime. It doesn't matter if it was on purpose or on accident. He then continues, upon learning the meaning of the word, I was deeply disappointed to have accidentally used it. And I apologize. I was deeply disappointed. I have grounded myself for the rest of the card marking. Oh, okay. Now you look at the rest of the story. It's not really about the racial slur. It goes on about Amazon and the fight amongst Democrats talking about who wants an Amazon data center, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait a second. This is supposed to be a story. The guy used a racial slur. He unambiguously used a racial slur. And about half of an article is about it. They wait a while to get to it. They release his statement. They say, yeah, no, the word's totally offensive. Anyway, he's running for Senate against a black lady. Oh, that's weird. So I did a little bit of research. I went digging. And I see his ads, his campaign ads all the time. I want to play you half of one here. This is going to be cut 7. This is about the Second Chance Act. This just to let you know what kind of guy David Trone is. He doesn't claim credit for this. His campaign put the ad out, so technically they are. But this guy gives him credit for something in this ad. Cut 7. Go ahead.
For 27 years, I was incarcerated.
Prison was very dehumanizing.
I knew if I learned, if I built myself with information, that's something to be proud of.
The man will never change until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change.
Thanks to Congressman Troon, the Second Chance Act was passed.
I was part of the pilot programs.
Thanks to Congressman Troon, the Second Chance Act was passed. First of all, can we talk about the music? It sounds like an outtake from the Civil War, doesn't it? The Civil War documentary. And then everybody named Jebediah died that day. It was a horrible tragedy. But the Second Chance Act, thanks to Congressman Troon, the Second Chance Act passed. Well, that set off a couple of bells and whistles with me. So I did a little bit of sleuthing. And by that, I mean I searched Second Chance Act. Turns out Second Chance Act was passed in 2007. Now, if you just were listening, you heard me say that David Troon ran for Congress for the first time in 2016 and lost, then moved to a different district and won in 2018 with his considerable fortune. Now, he's got enough money that if time machine technology exists, he could afford one. But I don't, because if time machine technology existed, I'm pretty sure he'd go back and talk himself out of using the racial slur yesterday. So I think we can argue that he does not, in fact, have a time machine. But he's put out a campaign ad where he takes credit for a piece of legislation that became law 11 years before he won his election, 12 years before he assumed office. That's a neat trick. Now, remember, David Troon is Rich Whitey. One more ad here before we take a break. He talks about, well, do we have time for this ad? We probably don't have time for this ad. I'll hold on until after the break, just because he's making a very big ethnic appeal. And as a white guy dropping racial slurs around, he's running against an African-American woman, a black woman. And he's running ads with black women claiming that he, it doesn't matter what you look like to be able to represent black people. It's just the hypocrisy. Amazing, amazing, shameless. I guess when you're rich enough, you can afford to be shameless. You're listening to Tony Katz today. Derek Hunter filling in. We'll be right back. We are back, but we got to go because we went long in the last segment. But we got one more hour to stick together. So, you know, take a break, go to the bathroom, but don't go anywhere. Be back. We'll see you soon.